On this last day, what I want to do is just remind us of the time to be completely dependent upon the Lord, because He is the Lord, and we need to trust Him, and we need to realize that He is on high, the Lord God Almighty. And so that's what we want to do. We want to just worship the Lord right now. So notice this. Psalm 141, verse 2, "Let my prayer be counted as incense before you, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." The Lord's table, worshiping the Lamb who was slain. Revelation chapter 5, verse 12, says that He was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And we need to realize that we are worshiping the Lamb who desires to be upon the throne, who will return. Jesus Christ in John 1:29 is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's called the Lamb because that was the ultimate sacrifice. That was the ultimate sin offering. And in Jesus, not only was He our substitute, but He was the payment for our sin. He was the one that sin was placed upon Him, though He had done no sin. And so notice this. How can we change our lives through prayer? If we're going to see God do something different in the new year, we have to understand that God wants us to have a vital, living relationship with Him. God does not want us to simply be absorbing. He wants us to be doing. Sitting, soaking saints will always sour. Believers who simply say, "I want what I want," but will never serve the Lord, will never hear the "well done, my good and faithful" what? Servant. It's not "well done, my good and faithful pew sitter." "Well done, my good and faithful receiver." It's "well done, my good and faithful servant." And so how can we change our lives through prayer? I believe that we need to understand that Jesus Christ has given us the ultimate example of how to have a vital, active prayer life. It's in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 16. And so look at this. Verses 9 to 13 of Matthew chapter 6. The Lord, notice what happens here, is that Jesus is giving us prayer, and the disciples come to Him, and they say, "Teach us to pray." Now, this is kind of interesting, because what were some of the things that Jesus could do? You know, don't shout too loud, but what are some of the things that Jesus could do? If you were dead, He could what? If you were dead, He could raise the dead. If there was a big storm, He could what? Calm the storm. Let's say you ran out of wine at your wedding. He would take water and do what? Turn into wine. He could raise the dead. What about if you were sick? He could heal you. What about if you were hungry and there was only, you know, a little bit of this? What could He do? He could provide. And so it's interesting that when Jesus was asked something, the disciples didn't say, "Lord, teach us to heal. Lord, teach us how to get money out of the mouth of a fish." They didn't say, "Lord, you know, show us how to do this or that, you know, raise the dead." What did they say? They said, "Lord, teach us to pray." Now, think about how our culture has changed. Jesus, I want from you what? Money. I want from you stuff. I want from you this and that. When's the last time the most vital thing that you wanted in your spiritual life was a spiritual relationship with the Lord where you said, "God, I teach us how to have," and what is prayer if it is not intimacy with the Almighty? If it's not to have a place of greater relationship with God Himself. Lord, teach us to pray. And in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus first in verse 5, He says, "When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites." And so first He says, don't be like the hypocrites, because they simply want to be seen praying. It's not about a relationship with God. It's all about in front of people. But then notice this. They want to be seen by others. He says in verse 6, but when you pray, go into your room. Now, if you have the word closet, just make sure you understand that this closet was big enough to hold 100 people. Okay? Because the idea is that when you pray, it's not praying by yourself that is the emphasis here. It is on praying with other believers and genuinely praying. He's contrasting it with hypocritical prayer, where the idea is, I just want to be seen. I'm here. I just want people to see me and say, wow. When it says here, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. The word you there is plural all through it. It's not you singular. It's yous. In fact, I think this is one of those few times when speaking Cape Breton would help us in our translation of the Bible. Yous guys means that there's more than what? One of you. And so, but when yous pray, go into yours room and shut the door and pray to yours Father who is in secret, and yours Father who sees in secret will reward yous. It's plural. And then notice this. Don't be like the hypocrites and just simply want to be seen, but don't be like the pagans who don't understand that prayer is not about asking. It's not so much, and can I use a seasonal expression here? You need to learn to seek the presence of God. And how did I spell that? P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. You need to seek the presence or the face of God before you start seeking the what? The presence of God. Most of us, as soon as we start to pray, what are we seeking? Lord, I want this. I need this. Lord, give me this. Lord, Lord, Lord. And he says, when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases, asking for stuff that God doesn't want you to have over and over and over. God, I want to do, I want this. I want that. I want this. Telling God what you want is an empty phrase. You're praying like an unbeliever. When you seek the hand of God, when you seek what God can give you before you seek the presence and the face of God, you are not praying the way Jesus taught us to pray. Do not be like them, verse 8 says, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And then he says in verse 9, pray then, now everybody do this with me, pray then like this. Now, what does Jesus not say in verse 9? He does not say, only pray this prayer this way. Now, when I was in Canada growing up, every morning, even through elementary school we did it, and then I can't remember us doing it in high school. I think by then someone said we weren't supposed to do it. But every morning, from kindergarten through eighth grade, we would sing, God Save the Queen, and then we would recite what? The Lord's Prayer. Did you ever do that in your school? Some people did. And we would say it, and I had absolutely no idea. You know, it's like the kid one time, somebody said, does anybody know God's name? And little boy put up his hand and said, I do. And you do? What's his name? Harold. Well, what do you mean? And the little boy said, well, every day at school we pray, and Harold be thy name. See, we don't understand. It's good to have this memorized. But understand, Jesus in verse 9, he begins by saying, pray then, what? Like this. And I want to show you what Jesus is saying. Let me read it for you first. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, not Harold, but holy. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then in Luke it says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Matthew chose not to put that part in because of his emphasis. But you can do it or not do it. It's up to you. But the point is this. Notice what he does. There are four ways I want you to remember to pray. Now, how many of you have ever heard the phrase ACTS? Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. That's good. Now, some people who are pet lovers, they prefer instead of saying ACTS, what do they say? They say CATS. You got it. Yes. And we will expect a Facebook video on cats praying from Minnie in the next little while. She is the resident supplier of cat videos in our church. And so the one riding the bike was especially funny, by the way. Thank you. But here's the thing. Some people say confession, adoration, thanksgiving, supplication. But let me just say this. There is don't you think that when Jesus says, I want to teach you how to pray, and pray like this, don't you think that maybe, you see where I'm going here? If Jesus says this is how you should pray, if Jesus says pray like this, don't you think maybe what? We should learn from Jesus. And notice what Jesus does. Jesus teaches us to pray upward, downward, inward, and say it with me, outward. Say it all with me. Jesus teaches us to pray upward, downward, inward, outward. Or you can do this. Upward, downward, inward, outward. And notice what he does. First of all, his prayer begins with a focus not on what I can get, but who am I praying to. Upward prayer is the idea of reverence. Prayers begin by focusing on God. Jesus says in verse 9, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. What direction is that prayer focused on? Upward. Then he says this, Okay, now what's my favorite word in prayer? My. God, I want you to meet. Say it with me. God, I usually pray, I want you to meet my needs. But no, upward prayer. Our Father in heaven, and notice, our Father in heaven. Now, he is a father. What else is God? God is a Lord. God is a provider. El Shaddai, the one who provides. You can go through over and over. God is a lion. God is a shepherd. There's all through Scripture. If you learn to pray Scripture, how is God described in Scripture? More than just our Father. He's a lot of things. And so, upward, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now notice this one. The four parts of prayer that are vital to true worship. Upward, focusing on God, focusing on who he is, focusing on his character. Then notice verse 10. Instead of my, it's your. It's this downward. God, this is what I want to see in the world today. This is what I want to see happen. And it has, if you were to take a record, if you were to write down all your prayers from the last 30 days, and God answered every one of them, would those prayers have changed the world or only your world? How many of our prayers only focus on who? Me, myself, and I, the unholy Trinity. We need to understand that Scripture-based prayer focuses on who? Intimacy with God, seeking the presence of God. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the downward. Now notice, then we have the inward. There's nothing wrong with the inward. But where's the focus? It's number 3 on the list. Give us this day our daily bread. That is physical, But how many times when we pray are we only focused on temporal things? Because notice this, when praying the inward, Jesus says, give us this day, and what? Forgive us. So if give us this day our daily bread is something physical or temporal, what is and forgive us our debts? What category would you put that in? You'd put that in the what? The spiritual category. How many times when you've asked God for stuff have you forgotten to pray for the spiritual in your life? God, help me to overcome my struggle. Help me to overcome my fear. God, help me to overcome the fact that I never share my faith. God, help me to overcome that I'm struggling with a habit. God, help me spiritually to grow. Upward, downward, inward. But notice when he says this, give us this day our daily bread. Yes, that's tangible. That's temporal. That's a physical need. But don't forget the spiritual, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Don't forget the spiritual. And then the last one is upward, downward, inward, outward. After we have prayed to God and worshiped Him in prayer, after we have meditated upon His desires for the world, after we have presented to Him our requests, what is the response? What is the response? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, it's this idea of going out now. The outward is, God, what do you want me to do? I realize who you are. You're the Father in heaven. Your name is holy. I realize now that I've been praying all wrong. I want your kingdom to come. I want your will to be done. Enough about Mike. More about you. God, I know now, though, that you don't mind when I bring to you my struggles and my cares. But God, the last part of prayer is always, now what should I do? Here, in verse 13, lead us not into temptation. And we could go back to verse 12. Forgiving other people. Leading us not into temptation. Delivering us from evil. How about this? When's the last time you prayed for your neighbor to come to Christ, and then you ended your prayer with, and God, now give me the strength as I walk across the street and actually witness to my neighbor? Or do you just leave it hanging? When's the last time you said, I just know I've hurt this person, God, forgive me for the words I said? And when's the last time you ended your prayer, and now, God, help me as I now do what? Get in my car and go and apologize to that person. See, notice the upward, the downward, the inward. Notice the outward is always, always a response where you ask God for the strength to share your faith. You ask God for the ability to apologize. You ask God to now help you go and mend a broken relationship. You ask God to bless you and to remove pride as you go and serve someone in need. We need scripture-based prayer. We need to understand that there's a whole world of prayer that never involves asking anything personal from God. And so as we close off this morning, let's just, what's our next song, Tony? Let's just remain seated. I think our next song is Seek First. Let's sing this first before we move into the next section, okay? And just as you sing this, just ask yourself, what's my prayer life like? Can I describe my prayer life as me, me, me? Or is it, what's the first one? Upward, downward, inward, outward. Are you worshiping God based upon the prayer of Jesus? Or are you simply saying, God, I'm putting in my coins. I want you to pay out. Let's just stay seated and let's sing this.
by bread alone, but by every word.
Now, isn't that a good reminder?
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
So just a good song as we move into the next section, because I really like that second verse. I forgot about that. Man shall not live by what? Bread alone. And yet the best part of the Lord's Prayer is what? Give us this day our, because it's like I get. But instead, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek, say it with me, seek the presence of God before you start seeking the presence of God. Don't always think that when you pray, it's about asking. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 1-3. We're going to spend some time praying right now. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. It's right after Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and then it goes Thessalonians, and then Timothy, and then Titus. And I want you to go to 2 Timothy. Paul is in jail. This is near the end of his ministry, the end of his life. And Paul knows that he's probably going to die. And so notice what he says here. This is what I want to leave you with, is how do you pray through Scripture? You're always looking first for the what? Say it with me. You're always looking for the upward, then the downward, then the inward, then the outward. So, for example, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Notice the question here. What has the Lord given us? Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, let me give you some instruction here so you can pray. What was Jesus' name? What was his name? Okay, now, and I'm not getting fancy here, but his name was not Jesus Christ. That was not his name. His name technically was Yeshua from the Hebrew Joshua, but the Lord saves. And we say Jesus. I kind of prefer the name Yeshua, especially in this culture, because it separates God from people who have the name Jesus. Yeshua. But Jesus is the name we call him. But when it says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, Christ is his what? His title. Anointed one, Messiah. So when you start understanding upward prayer, when you begin looking at this, you can begin by praying. You know, Father, as I read verses 1 to 3, the first thing Paul says about Jesus is that he is what? Say it with me. He's the Christ. He's the anointed one. He's the Messiah. So Jesus began his prayer, our Father. Well, you can begin, Jesus, our Messiah. And so Christ Jesus, Christ is his title. By the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus. And then he says to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father. There it is again. Thank you, God, that you are the Father. But now here's the next thing. How do we then, what do I mean by downward prayer? Well, very simply, what has the Lord given to us? What are things that you can focus on in verses 1 to 3 that God has given us? Before you start asking your list, why don't you start asking him to give you evidence of what he's already given you? So notice this. Paul, an apostle, can you see? Can you see anything? Can you see it? What has God given you in verse 1? It says the what that is in Christ Jesus? The life. How about God, thank you that you have given me what? Life in Christ Jesus. How about this one? To Timothy, my beloved child, what are the next three things that God has given us? Grace, mercy, peace. And as you start to pray and you start to realize that prayer is about meditating, and really so many people miss out on prayer because they just jump right into the list, that we forget what it means to meditate. In fact, I just noticed that it's Christ Jesus our Lord, which means, hey, I can go back to number one. And I can say, wow, Jesus is Lord. You know, how many of you worry about the uncertainty of 2018? How many of you aren't really sure what 2018 will hold for you? How about right now, let's just all pray out loud. Repeat after me. Jesus, as we head into 2018, I thank you that you are Lord. I praise you that you are Lord. I am grateful that Lord means you're in charge. In fact, Scripture says that you are the, and say it with me, Lord of Lords. And so in 2018, rest my anxious heart as I trust in you. That is Scripture-based prayer. Start out with who is God? Upward. Okay? He's the Christ. He's the Father. He's the Lord. All descriptions of God. And then downward. Thank you, God, that you've given me life in Christ. Thank you that by, you know, and you can just pray back to him. Lord, thank you that when I receive Christ as my Savior and I receive the gift of life. Thank you that you offer to me grace and mercy and peace. That's what you want me to have. How many of you have struggled and need grace? Made mistakes and need grace? Okay, number one, I will vote for me every time. How about this? How many times do you wish that people would just give you some mercy? You know, just work with me here. God, you know, I'm a work in progress, big time. How about some mercy? And then what about peace? Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of God? upward, downward. That's what God wants us to have. Now let's talk about inward. Let's go to chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Notice verses 1 to 9. And I think I'm just going to do verse 1 right now. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, if there's not a prayer request there, then there's no prayer request in the Bible. What's the one inward thing that you can ask Jesus for as we head into 2018? Strength. Let's right now, let's all pray out loud on our own. Let's shout it out. And let's just cry out to God right now and say, Dear God, this is what? Okay, so hold on a sec there. But I like it. I like it. I love it. I like it. Don't stop. But right now, when we start to pray, let's all say out together, God, in 2018, I want to see you give me strength to you fill in the blank. What are some of the blanks you could have? Strength to do what? Witness. Strength to do what? Serve. Strength to do what? How about be consistent in my Bible reading? How about just strength to make it through another day? That's okay. So let's all pray together. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Let's shout out to God, everybody out loud. Father in heaven. And so you just say your own prayer. You don't have to follow me because I may not be leading you the right way. You never know. But Father in heaven, we just right now in 2018, I want strength to see our church grow. I want strength to just be a better man of God. I want strength to be a better husband and a better father. I want your strength to be more consistent in how I treat people and love people. And Lord, give me the strength to witness to people. Come on, folks, let's raise up our voices and let's shout out to God. God, we need you in 2018. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That's inward. You'll find all through Scripture, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Notice again, by the grace. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. How about discipling someone in 2018? Share in suffering. God, I know we're going to go through difficulty as a church. The next 2 weeks, as we mourn the loss of Dorothy, as we mourn the loss of Steve Fagone Jr., as we just realize that it's not easy being a believer. God, as I suffer, I mean, it's not like, oh, they didn't put non-fat milk in my latte. That's not suffering for Jesus. But it's like, Lord, may I be a good testimony of you. And then he goes on to talk about soldiers. Soldiers simply go where they're told. Lord, in 2018, I want to do your will without question. And then he says this, an athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Lord, help me to live. Though I know I've been kind of fudging on some of my Christian holiness and purity issues. Lord, I want to be like an athlete and I want to be strong and true. And then he says it's the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Lord, may I see your blessing. May people just walk up to me and say, I don't know what it is, but there's something different about you and I like it. And you suddenly realize, well, I stopped praying for me after that sermon, and I started praying for other people and for God to do things in my life that I really wasn't praying for before. And suddenly people are saying, wow, I like you. Is it your hair? No, it's something better. And then notice this. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. You think there's something you could pray in that verse? Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not what? Bound. You know, we're not the biggest church in the valley. I'd argue with you as to whether we're the best church, but we're not the biggest church, and we don't have the youngest church. And we don't have the coolest church, but you know what? When you pray verse 9, you suddenly realize it's not has nothing to do with your hipster pastor. It has nothing to do with what we have or don't have as a church. It's all about being faithful to what? The Word of God. Read the verse. Pray the verse if you want to change. And the verse says what? The Word of God is not bound. Can God stop the Word of God? Will His, what's He say in Isaiah? My Word will not return to you void. It'll come back like casting bread upon the water. That's what we need to pray for. Well, two more. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Notice the prayer question I put here for you. How can God's Word have a greater role in your life? You know, hey, I'm all for teaching. I just love to come to church, hear the Word of God. I could sit here all day. Love it, love it, love it. But what about reproof? Oh, I love information, but don't ask me about transformation. I'm what I am, part of that special group of God's people called the Frozen Chosen. I'm exactly the same as I was 50 years ago. God's not going to change me. But it says here, if all Scripture is breathed out by God, not only should we want to know more, but we should want to be changed more. It says for correction, to get us out of sin, back on the right path. Training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. That's so that the Word of God gets us serving. Is that what you're doing? Let me just say, out in the lobby, there are January daily walks. Start tomorrow morning reading through the Bible in a year. If you're still not quite, well, I don't know if I want to read through the whole Bible, get a daily bread for January and start reading a few verses of Scripture every single day. But get the Word of God. But here's the question. If you were to pray to God right now, based on 2 Timothy 3:16-17, where does God's Word need to have a greater role in your life? And then 2 Timothy 4:14-18. Notice what it says here. It's very interesting. Paul's probably going to die. He's in jail. He's cold. Prisons were not like the prisons of today. But he cares about people. Verse 9. He talks about Demas. And it's like, man, this guy's deserted the faith. But then he talks about other people, like Luke and Mark and Tychicus. He goes through, and then we get down to verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Beware of him yourself, for he strongly opposed our message. How would you turn that into a prayer? It's like, Lord, I really want to see my grandchildren reach for Christ, but their parents don't want me to share. I'm praying for my children or whoever to come to Christ, that these children might hear the gospel. Or maybe you know your manager is against anything spiritual in your workplace. And so you got to pray. It's like, I want to pray for my manager. They're against anything I do. So help them to see me be the Christian life. But then help me to have opportunities to take coworkers out for coffee. Because I can't do Bible study at work. I can't share my faith at work. But I can certainly have people out for coffee. But notice here. Notice what it says. May it not be... he says he strongly opposed our message. You can pray about that. At my first offense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me. Isn't that a great verse? Now, do you think that's a great prayer verse? Lord, and notice what I put down here. Has the Lord ever stood by you? When's the last time you prayed in gratitude? Lord, last Sunday was a crazy Sunday. My mind was spinning. Thank you that you stood by us. Yesterday was an incredibly, incredibly hard day for the Fagoni family and for the close friends of Dorothy. Thank you, Lord, that you what? Stood by us. When has the Lord ever stood by you, and have you ever prayed? And Lord, I want to thank you for when you stood. This is something, well, go home today. And this is your prayer. Lord, I want to thank you for when you stood with me. I know that many of us have a custom of saying the exact same prayer every time we eat food. But what about changing it just today and saying, Lord, I'm going to pray differently. And I want to just pray a prayer of thanks to you. Let's finish off. The Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. Now that kind of takes you back to Daniel, but he's really talking about living in a world that hates Christians. And the world of Paul, they hated Christians. This is when, in fact, because of the story of Daniel in the mouth of the lion, in the lion's den, they would intentionally wrap Christians up in animal costumes, and they would send out lions into the arena. And it was a whole mocking thing. It's like, well, see, this proves that God didn't rescue Daniel. Because if he didn't rescue these people, there's no way he could have rescued Daniel. But guess what? God does rescue us. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. In other words, upward, downward, inward, outward. But maybe we always need to get back to the what? To the upward. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, we did more teaching than we did praying, but next time, Memorial Day weekend, is the next time we're going to take a Sunday to pray and worship. But let's. I hope this has been instructive for you. We've got to change the way we pray. We've got to start seeking the what? The presence of God instead of the presence of God. And when we pray, we need to start reading through Scripture, and the purpose, the focus of our prayer should always be first where? Then inward, then outward. God, what are you telling me to do, and help me to do it.